Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
For those of you who are listening in on this program for the first time, or you were not around with us last week, I started a series of teachings which I said will run for a number of weeks, and the title is Divine Plan for Your Destiny. I just want to quickly make an announcement that these messages can be obtained if you write us using the address that will be announced at the end of today's program. If you write, we'll let you know what you need to do and how you can get them and listen to them. It's good that you listen to them again and again. So we started last week by talking about the fact that God has a plan for everybody's life. There was nobody that was born by accident. When you were born, there was a purpose for which God created you. And if you do not walk according to that purpose, all you will meet with in life is absolute dissatisfaction. Now, a lot of people are moving in life, trying their best to succeed. Now, I notice something generally, especially if you're a child of God, and if you have given your life to Jesus Christ and made a declaration before God that I want to walk according to your purpose, that you have come to recognize that God has a purpose for your life, and that is a purpose you want to walk in. If you have been meeting with failure, you've been trying one kind of business or another, it's not been succeeding, you have tried your hand on this and tried your hand on that. Most of us, we have been deceived into thinking that it is the devil, it is Satan. So we pray and fast trying to rebuke the devil. But the reality is that the reason why we are struggling so hard is not because of the devil. It is because God's grace is not with us. Listen, let me go over this again. Life is not lived by our efforts. Life is lived by the mercy of God. If God's grace is upon you in an area, you find what you are doing in that area easy, and you always find results when you do it. If you are in a place where you are constantly struggling and you are seeing no results, the most likely issue is that you are walking in the place that God has not planted you to be. Now, let me just develop from that point by reading from Psalm 139. If you have your Bibles, quickly open to Psalm 139. David was speaking there prophetically, and the words that he spoke applies to everybody. We explained last time that when we read about Jeremiah and about Paul, who said that God knew them before they were formed in their mother's womb, that it's not just those people that it applied to. Listen, God knew Isaac Newton before he was formed in his mother's womb and ordained him to be a great scientist. Are you getting the point I'm making? There are people that God created to be presidents. There are people that God created to be generals in the army. There are men, if you go and read Isaiah very well, God told him that I have called Cyrus by name, that my purpose for him is that he will make my oppressed go free. A lot of time when we talk about God having a plan for people's lives, we tend to think he's referring to preachers alone or missionaries. So David Livingstone had to come to Africa because of God's plan for his life. Listen to me. God probably knew Bill Gates and ordained him to be a mighty engineer and marketer of software. Do you understand my point? All right. Charles Townes was a man who invented the laser beam. God knew him before he was born and gave him the brain of a scientist. These things don't exist only when it comes to preachers. But I said that a lot of people that God knew and God called, we don't know about them because they did not answer the call of God. Many are called, we have heard, but few are chosen. If you walk according to your own plans and walk in your own path for life, you will go into obscurity. You will just vanish like smoke and nobody will know that you ever existed. The men that we know are those that God used for specific purposes. And most importantly amongst them are those that walked in the purpose of God for their lives. It is not a matter of whether the man made money. Nobody is remembered primarily because he was rich. People are remembered because of the impact that they made in their generation. Listen, the Bible said that a good name is better than silver and riches. You know what a good name is? That is your great-grandchildren. They will proudly bear your name. Even the girls we marry and will be afraid to remove their father's name and take over their husband's own. So they join it. That's what the Bible calls a good name. People want to associate with you. Even your classmates will be telling people that he was my classmate. Now, just being a classmate, that's what is called a good name. Men are not known like that primarily because of wealth. They are known because of the influence that they made in their generations. So I was saying that God created all of us for a particular purpose, And success in life is following God's plan for your life, because therein is the grace of God manifested. What is grace? Grace is the power of God that is released when you are doing what he wants you to do. It's like you tell your son, don't go out. So he wants to sneak out to a party. He has to trek through the bush and take a bike and do all kinds of things to get there. Why? Because daddy said, don't go. But if you told him, Junior, go and do this for me, you hand him your car keys and he's there in 5 minutes. That is grace. So when you are struggling, when you are meeting with so much failure in life, the main problem likely is that you are absolutely out of God's will for your life. I don't mean that when you are in God's will, you will not meet challenges. But despite the challenges, the work that you set out to do will be done. Paul met challenges in evangelizing the Gentile nations, but they were all evangelized. That is, when Paul is sick, the gospel is preached by his sickness. When the boat capsizes, are you getting my point? And there is a shipwreck. The island upon which he lands, the gospel spreads there. When he's in prison, he said, by reason of my imprisonment, all the household of Caesar has heard the gospel. That is grace. That even though I meet challenges, my challenges indeed become stepping stones towards the purpose for which I was walking. So if you are walking, you walk towards business, it fails. You invest money in one business, you end up with debt. And you are not making money, you are not producing anything. Check it, it's likely you are walking out of the will of God for your life. So we said, this is the reason why it works like that. Psalm 139. David said, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. He said, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and your book were all written. That is, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. This was God's plan for everybody that comes to this earth. Before you were born, in your mother's womb, God formed your inward parts. And he says, this food is good for you. This one is not good. Jesus said, the food that is good for you is the will of God. He said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He now said, I will give thanks to you, O my God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What does that mean? It means God has made everything beautiful in its own time. If you say I am beautiful, listen, the concept of beauty is not absolute. Let me explain what I mean. That is, what we call beautiful has a foundation that has been laid by men who make decisions. Let me explain what I'm saying further. You see girls dress up and down these days, half naked, and they consider themselves beautiful. Why? Because a designer in Italy and in America said to them, this is beautiful. So they starve themselves almost to death, trying to remain thin. Why? Because a model walking up and down the road said, thin is beautiful. There is no reality in it. Beauty is determined by how appropriately fitted to your function you are. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That what makes a man beautiful or a woman beautiful is that the purpose for which God made him, he's able to fulfill it in his current structure. So he said, I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. What was he saying? My height is just appropriate for my function. My complexion is the way God made it to be. I don't desire to be taller or shorter. I don't want to be lighter or darker than I currently am. I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you understand the point I'm making? He said, wonderful are thy works. That is, no matter what people think, what God has made will perform the function for which God has made it. I have been made to be an impact in my generation. There is a kind of brain God has given me, maybe as a scientist. I'm able to decode what men will struggle over for 10 years. In 1 minute of thinking, I have decoded it. Why? I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. That is, in the place of my strength, life is easy. Grace is poured abundantly upon me. All you need to do is, I think the easiest way to look at it, go and take an, let's say, a sculptor or a painter. Try to be like him. Most of them were born. They were not made. Now, they can sharpen their abilities. They can train themselves to become better. But the ability to put things on canvas, come on, it's either inside you or it is not there. Now, that does not only apply to art. It applies to every sphere of life. God made it for a purpose, and if you find the purpose, the place where God made it to be, success is automatic. It is your portion. Remember, I said something last week, and that is, once you believe the words that I'm saying, those words themselves will guide you, they will guard you, and they will direct you into the place that God wants you to be. That is, this is the power of the Spirit of God. It is not the ability to follow instructions, but the ability to believe what you are told. If you believe what I am telling you, that God has a place for your life, and you tell God, yes, I understand you have a place for my life, that word will guide your steps into the place that God ordained for you to be. Now, what I want to discuss briefly with us today are the reasons why people don't find themselves in the place of God's plan for their lives. Remember, we are talking about divine plan for your destiny. God said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now listen to that. God doesn't have the ability to think evil thoughts for people. Now let me explain what I mean. People can generate by their actions judgment from the hands of God. But God's plan and purpose for them is never for evil. Never. What men do is that by their actions, they can walk out of God's plan. Remember I said that God has a will or a purpose, but he also has foreknowledge. That is, he has proposed or determined that you should succeed in what we call predestination. But if you are walking in a manner by which failure will come upon you, he also knows. And he cannot force you to move towards the success that he has determined. No, he doesn't do that. He said, I set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. It's your choice. If you choose life, you and your descendants will live. How do you choose life? By obeying these words that I'm commanding you today. That's how you choose life. Now, I said, God made us for a particular purpose, each one of us, every individual. But many people don't realize God's purpose for their lives. Remember what we're reading in Psalm 139? David said, he said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, God's eyes saw my substance even before it was formed and wrote in his books all the days of my life even before any one of those days had become. Now let me just explain something briefly, because a lot of us believe in judgment. We believe in judgment day. You know, it's interesting. I mean, just say this by the way. Twice now in my life, I remember discussing with people about Judgment Day. I said, because we're having discussions or like arguments, I ended both arguments like this. I said, do you believe in judgment? Both people at different times said yes. I said, on the day of judgment, give these excuses you are giving me to God, that these are the reasons why I didn't obey you, and see how it will stand. What am I saying? That somebody said, it's because some preachers misbehave, that's why I'm not a committed Christian. I said, on judgment day, tell God that. You know what God will tell you? So at least you know how people are supposed to behave. So why didn't you behave like that? What am I saying? There is judgment day. Whether we like it or not, there is judgment day. If I may just add this to it quickly. There are two kinds of judgment days. There is a judgment day on the earth, and there is a judgment day in heaven. The judgment day on the earth is when God looks at the works that you did as a young man, as a young woman, and uses that to establish you as an old man or an old woman, either in prosperity or in poverty, either in short life or in a long life. That's judgment day on the earth. But there is a judgment day in heaven, where the Bible says that time books will be opened. Now the question is that which kind of books will be opened? If you read Revelation chapter 20, especially around that's verse 12, it said books were opened. Now, those books that were opened, it said the dead were judged according to their deeds, the things that were written inside the books. Now, what I want to understand here is this. We read from Psalm 139. It said, before there was any one of my days, God had written them down in his books. Now, listen. The day of judgment, many things are judged, but most important amongst them, after it has been decided that your name is written in the book of life, is whether you walked according to what God ordained for you to be. That's why those books are open. That day, God is comparing notes. What I wrote before you were born and what was written after you were born. The degree to which they tally decides the degree of reward that you get. If God wrote for you to do A, B, C, D, E, and you are doing X, Y, Z, J, R, Q. God looks at it. There is absolutely no tally. You have no reward before God. Do you understand that? But if you do exactly what has been written for you to do, then God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Then you will receive the crown indeed that was prepared for you. Now, so I was explaining that, yes, David said, the days of my life were written before I was born, and that God formed me to be able to walk the way he decided I should walk before I was born. Don't forget, God did not consult you before he created you. He did not discuss with you before you were born. Therefore, the decisions for what your life should be were made before you were born. Again, do not forget, it cannot be imposed upon you. It has just been decided that you should go that way. But it's a decision you need to make by yourself, whether you will go there or you will not go there. But what I want to leave with us today, like I said, is the most important reason why people don't walk according to God's plan for their lives. Now, before I say that reason, there's one scripture I must read out to us, and then I'll use that one to tie it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. It said, behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. God created men to move in a particular fashion. He said, after studying life, I have noticed that God created people to walk righteously. He said, but what stops them from walking uprightly is because they seek after many other devices. Let me explain. If a child is born and is left-handed, it's a natural thing. It's not the child chose to be left-handed. He found it easier to eat, to write, to do things with the left hand. You will make the child slow in learning if you try to force the child to use the right. But you can. You understand that point? You can. I've had friends, when I was in secondary school, they could do everything with the left as well as they could with the right. Later on in life, I realized what the problem was. The boy was left-handed. I have somebody in my mind as I speak. But people forced him to use his right hand because they thought using your left hand is an aberration and is a taboo. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. Bill Clinton writes with his left. And my wife does too. Great people. To be my wife is a great thing. One of my friends would tell my wife that the wife of Pastor Banky is a great title. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, there is nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing. But this young man, thinking back, the guy used to fail a lot. And he was, on the average, 2 or 3 years behind his mates in class. I can imagine that it's because they forced him to use his right hand when he was very good with his left. So because they forced him and he learnt by force to use his right hand, the left hand he did not even try to use. He was just as good with the left or even better with the left. And when such people get into the football field, because nobody is forcing you to play with your right leg, they usually are very good with their left. Now what am I saying? God made their left part upright, but men forced these guys to use the right. Therefore, life became difficult for them. So Solomon was explaining, I have noticed this. God made men upright, but their lives become complicated when they seek after many devices. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now listen, I'm explaining that when things are in place, the will of God, the plan of God for your life will come to you naturally. Remember I said, the word of the kingdom being planted in your heart serves not as a conscious guide now, but as an unconscious director of your footsteps, so that you will indeed be found in the right place at the right time. We have established in previous teachings that it is not humanly possible to know the right place ahead of the right time. You cannot know it. It is only in retrospect, when you have found the right place and you were there at the right time, that you realize that that was the right place and that was the right time, by reason of the results that were produced by the encounter. But before then, you cannot know it. However, if the word of God is planted in your heart, The Bible was talking about the word of God in Hebrews chapter 4. He said everything lies open before him that we have to do. And he was talking about the word. He said the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. When he said alive, it means the word of God can think. It can decide things for you ahead of time. So if you believe these words, it will take you to the right place, believe me, at the right time. But the problem, like I said, is that people have hindrances that are standing between them and this work that God wants to do in their lives. Ezekiel chapter 14, I'll read from verse 7. It said, for anyone of the house of Israel or of the immigrants who stay in Israel, who separates himself from me, sets up his idol in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet to inquire of me for himself. He said, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person. Men come to God sometimes and say they want to do the will of God. And God said, why they are coming? First of all, they separate themselves from me, set up idols in their hearts, and put right before their faces the stumbling blocks of their iniquity. He said, when men do this, they have no right to come to me. He said, what is it that you have to do, saying you want to offer a sacrifice to God, when your heart is not right with God? What am I saying? The first thing and most important thing that separates you from the will of God for your life is that your heart is detached from God himself. You do not love God. Again, let me use the area of marriage as an example. Many times people come and say they want to know who God wants them to marry. I say, did you ever ask God who the people he wanted you to sleep with before he started sleeping around? You didn't ask him. Then you have no business asking him who you should marry. He doesn't have an opinion anymore. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When you were cheating and doing 419, did you ask God whether it was good? No, you did not. Now it is time to choose the right wife. You want to hear God's opinion. God is not a sorcerer. He's not a diviner. He's not a fortune teller. He is God. He's either God of all or is not God at all. He's either ruling every part of your life or is not ruling any part of it. He doesn't want people who come to him only when it is time to make a decision. He doesn't work like that. If your life is separated from God, no wonder confusion has come upon you. No wonder failure has come upon everything that you are doing. Whether you like it or not, God created the earth. He created you, and indeed he's the God of the universe. If he's not pleased with you, you can never succeed. If the president, governor, senators, everybody are happy with you, and God alone is unhappy with you, you can never succeed. If your connections with men give you money, God will remove the ability to eat from it, from you. You will stare money in the face, and you will not be able to spend it. May God's judgment not come upon many of us who insult him by going to church, asking the pastor, prophet, pray for me. I have a business that is coming. You forgot to tell them, I slept with that man before he gave me the contract. Do you understand the point I'm making? You want to walk in divine destiny. The first thing you must do is attach yourself back to God. Last week I explained in details that every man born has a purpose for which he was born. But we read from Colossians chapter 1 that they became alienated from God in their hearts and they went their own way. The Bible said it like this. It said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everybody has gone to his own way. But there is a reconciliation back to God that is possible. That is what is meant by the power of the blood of Jesus. Listen, the blood of Jesus was not designed for witches and wizards. It was designed to reconcile sinners back to God. It was not meant to be used to chase your enemies. There was never a time God used the blood of Jesus to chase enemies. He used it to reconcile men back to their God. If you want success, you need the blood of Jesus. Not for your enemies, but for your own heart. Anybody coming to God, his heart must be united back to God. You can never say you want to walk in divine destiny if you have no respect for God entirely. Listen, God is interested in how you relate with your lecturers in school, how you relate with your colleagues. Do you cheat in exams? If those things don't matter to you, forget divine destiny. God created you for excellence, but you end up in failure. You are sowing the seeds for failure, for goodness sake. You want divine destiny? get united back to God. What is the short way, the sure way back to God? That is the power of the blood of Jesus. It's simple. Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. I have sinned. Cleanse me with your blood. Don't chase my enemies with your blood. Cleanse me with your blood. Because if my ways are pleasing to you, then you will cause even my enemies to be at peace with me. That's what the word of God is saying. Let's not misappropriate the blood of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, spiritual EFCC will come against us also. You know what EFCC does spiritually? It puts men in jail and takes away physical things that they have obtained and puts them back into poverty. When you want to handle the blood of Jesus, put it upon yourself first. That God, if I have sinned, I won't sin anymore. Any iniquity that I have sown as seeds into this life that will bring forth thorns and thistles for me later in life, eradicate them now, Lord, I beg you, by the power of the blood of Jesus. What am I saying here? Number one, if you want to walk in divine destiny, you have to be reunited to God. Without that, forget it. And there's something about spiritual things. There is a law in the spirit. Whoever is not with us is against us. Anyone not walking in the will of God is walking in the will of the devil. Let him that has ears understand what I have just said. Now, when men are united back to God in their hearts, there are two other things which are actually parts of this being detached away from God, but which a lot of so-called believers still engage in. I'm not sure time will allow me today. Maybe I'll leave that till next time to begin to specifically deal with certain hindrances that hinder men from receiving or from walking in the divine plan for their lives. But I want to end with this today. That's by reviewing this fact that God's plan for you is good. And it is definitely better than what you can ever imagine for yourself. Do you get the point I'm making? The Bible said that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we can ask or even think. It said, eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, and it has not yet entered into the heart of man what God has planned for those who love him. What am I saying? All the success that you are running after, they are inferior to what God can do for you if you walk with him. Let me tell you this. In case you are dabbling into the occult, or you are planning to dabble into the occult to be able to succeed, listen to this. The devil can never give you what God has not yet proposed to give you. The best thing the devil can do is to give you a shortcut to the place. Except that he cannot give you victory with it. He cannot give you satisfaction with it. He cannot guarantee you long and peaceful life with it. But even though he gave you all the kingdoms of this earth, like he tried to give Jesus Christ, know that it was because God had already planned to give it to Jesus. If you sell your soul to the devil for prosperity, the devil has cheated you. God will have given you that prosperity free of charge if you obeyed him. The devil has never created anything. Therefore, he cannot give you what he has never been able to create. He cannot give you what God didn't plan to give you. If you entered into the occult and became a billionaire, know that God was going to make you a billionaire two times. The only difference is this. God will tell you, walk with me and be perfect, and I will make you a billionaire. The devil said, doesn't matter. Walk with me in all your imperfections, and I will make you rich now. All you need to do for me is to continue to sponsor iniquity. Go around the secondary schools and universities and corrupt the young girls with the money that I'm going to give you. Pervert justice with the money, and I will ensure that you are rich. But don't ever forget, judgment indeed belongs to God. You can never give devil as an excuse for iniquity and that you'll get away with it. No. You sell your soul to Satan for riches and power and authority. He has cheated you. You have shortchanged yourself. You have followed the devil to the place of your own inheritance and sold yourself to the devil in the process. If you had only walked with God, it will have taken a little bit more time. It will have taken some working on your personality. It will have taken some training in righteousness. But when you get there, you will be established and you will have peace. And then the devil will indeed be ashamed.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to www.kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.